touch very briefly on the will, that part of us, the will and the desires. I'm just going to deal with them very briefly. Just a small, short word, since God is doing other things tonight, and God is moving among his body, and some of you might well have something to add to what's being done here. 7:17, John 7:17, yes, please read.
If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God, whether I speak of myself.
We want to know from God, how can we do God's will? What? How? The how of it?
Amen.
And this is the answer to the how of it. You do God's will by your own desire. There's a point at which God cannot function for you. God cannot desire for you. God can bring to pass your desire, and you can move the hand of God. But you must move the hand of God by your desire. If any man desires, you know, there are two basic words that we would like to deal with, and that is teleo, which is a good desire, and the other word, you know, the Epicurean is the man who likes to eat. The other word is that word, Epicurean, and that word speaks of lust. Yes. Always, or most times, it's used in a wrong sense. So a desire can be a lust, and a desire can be a good one. Now, God is saying that if you have a desire to do God's will, that God must, do you hear me? You can force God to bring to pass your desire by your having a desire to do his will. I don't know if we get it.
Amen.
It's just a small point that it needs rubbing in. You see, remember now, we're going to put it up on our refrigerators. And we are going to put up, I have come to do thy will, O God. For this purpose, it was written in the book of me. Not Jesus Christ. Jesus said it was written in the book of him. So what is in the book about you? The book says that you, that in the end of time, there will be a people coming who will do the will of God.
Hallelujah.
Now God is saying, if you desire to do God's will, remember, I'm weak, I have no strength to do it, I have no equipment to do God's will, but I want to do God's will.
Hallelujah.
And because I want to do God's will, God is bound.
Yes.
God is bound to reveal his will to me to do.
Yes.
You see, many of us make it so hard.
Yes.
It's not hard. It's very easy, but then you must know what is easy, what to do. All you have to do, God, I want to do your will. If you don't tell me what to do, I don't know what to do. Therefore, it's not my problem to tell me what to do.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's your problem, God, to let me know what you want me to do.
Amen.
Amen. So if any man desire,
hallelujah,
all I need to have is an innate desire to do God's will. And when I have that desire, God must. You ever heard of God must?
Uh-huh.
Well, this is a God must. Amen. Whenever I have the desire to do God's will, God must. Now, that means I have no excuse for not doing God's will. Because God's will for you might be just to sit quiet. Amen. I wonder what God will is, what God wants me to do. Amen. You are frustrating the very will of God by carrying on like that. You need to sit quiet and say, no, God, when you tell me what to do, I'll do. And if you don't tell me what to do, then I'm doing just what you want me to do, which is nothing.
Yeah.
And do you ever think that God ever wants you to do nothing? God is a busybody person, isn't he? He wants you to be running up and down all the while, handing out tracts. Isn't that so? Now, God wants you to sit quiet. God wants to teach you patience. God wants you to wait on him. But you are running. And because you are running, you can't hear. If any man, any human being desires to do the will of God, then he must know this, that it is not his business to find out what God's will is. It is God's business to tell him what God's will is.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You hear some people complaining, I don't know what God wants me to do, and this and that and the other. You don't know what God wants you to do, then keep quiet, and you will hear what God wants you to do. Because God will speak to every human being of what he wants him to do. God's not going to come to me and say, Brother Lucille, go and prophesy to sister and brother so-and-so and tell him that I want him to do so-and-so. Whenever God does that, he has already told you.
Yeah.
I am only going to come and confirm what God Almighty has said to you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And if you do not know the voice of God, it is because you have rejected the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Right.
You know, one day I was complaining to God. I said, God, speak to me, God. Speak to me, God. Lord, why won't you speak to me? Is there anybody who ever said that?
Yeah.
You know what he said to me? He said, I'm always speaking, but you are not always listening. God is always speaking. You're just not on the wavelength to hear him. It's like your radio. It's always saying something, but you didn't switch it on. And you didn't put it on the right station. Therefore, you won't hear what you want to hear. God is saying to us tonight that it is his will. It is his will that we should know his will. Come on now. It's not our will that we should know God's will. It is God's will that we should know his will. Because God wants to reveal to us his will.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I never forgot. These lessons are so indelibly printed in my soul that it is not possible for me to ever forget the vividness of the lessons. Here it is, Jesus speaks to me this evening, and I said he spoke to me until 1 o'clock that night, and he was slipping away from me, and I said, Jesus, tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And I made the appointment. But the devil heard. And so some brothers from the Bible school came to me. Say, brother, we come to you with a message from the Lord. Now, I don't know better. I am green. Just, you know, green. I don't know anything about that. We bring a message to you from God. The Lord is saying that you should go to Bible school. Because everybody who is saved and received the kind of a ministry that you have must go to Bible school. God wants you to go to Bible school. He said, all right, if God says so, you know, I need to go right away. So I went to get registered in Bible school and came in like 5 minutes late to meet Jesus at 4. When I came into the room, the sun, 4 o'clock sun, bright shining through the window, and there was a man standing in the sunlight. It's just a silhouette of the man's back that I saw, and I knew instinctively it was Jesus who was there waiting on me for 5 minutes. So I rushed up to him with joy in my heart. Jesus, I've just registered for Bible school. And he began to turn around very slowly. And my heart began to fall. He turned around so slowly means something is wrong. And I still wasn't prepared for what I see. I've told you that many times. I never like to talk about seeing Jesus' face. But this time, there's no forgetting what I saw. When he turned around, his eyes were like two balls of fire that was just burning into me. And I could swear his finger was about this big. He put his finger in my face like this. And I just cowered under the power that was coming from him. And he said, if you go to Bible school, you have rejected me as your teacher. Now remember, brethren, I had no intention of rejecting Jesus. I had no desire of rejecting Jesus. But I could reject Jesus by accepting something else.
Yes.
Yes,
are you there?
Yes.
You can reject the word of God, believing it with all your heart, and rejecting it by accepting something which is the opposite to the word.
Yes.
Yes. Glory.
Yes.
Don't you hear me?
Yes, amen.
God, Jesus Christ said to me, you will reject me if you go to that Bible school. For I am your teacher. Now if you have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your teacher, why should you want another teacher? Unless you reject him. And I learned a lesson there. Let me explain to you, brethren. Anything you desire in God, God is sending it to you immediately. The problem is you're accepting it. It's not that God hasn't given it. And very often, when we desire anything, we have a preconceived idea of what the thing is.
Yeah.
And so when God sends it to us, we reject it because that's not what we want. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
The same word comes out of Matthew chapter 5.
Yeah.
Remember, we are dealing with desires, good desires, six. And evil, yes, desires.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Blessed are they which do hunger, that's a good desire, and thirst after righteousness. Why? For they shall be filled. It's a law. There's no way that God Almighty could allow you to want Him and He not giving you what you want. Don't you see?
Amen.
You cannot be greater than God. As a matter of fact, I found out something. That when you desire God, it's not really you that is desiring God. It's the God in you that's desiring God. Oh yeah. That you, the human being, has nothing in you to desire God. You would desire everything that is natural, carnal, comfortable, nice for this life. But anytime you have a burning in you for God, then you start thanking the Holy Ghost for the burning. For the burning is the action and a motivation of the Holy Spirit in you. There's one part of this that bothers me, and it's the last word. The last word. He says, if you desire God, you shall be filled. And I don't know of any of us who are really filled. You know, when you go to the table, and especially something that you like very much, you eat and you feel filled. And when you feel filled, you don't want any more. Isn't that so? But it seems to me that the more of God I get, is the more I want.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but this is the condition of receiving God. First of all, the more I receive from God, is the smaller I become. I realize how little, how puny, how insignificant man is. When I see a man step up to the pulpit and have all the hype and the glory and the power, I just know he's nowhere with God. For any man who meets God, you feel small. You know, you feel so small and so lacking. Amen. And so hungry. And yet God said, He shall be filled. I would like to know when, Lord God, when are you going to fill me?
Yeah.
Amen. The psalmist expressed the thing in vivid terms. He said, as the heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. Hey, glory to God. You know, some people are satisfied with their Christian experience. And I don't understand that. Because it's the psalmist said, my soul pants for God. For the living God. And some people seem to be satisfied with so little. When I look at what they have nothing much.
Amen.
It's not much. If you function in a gift of the Spirit, you feel so powerful, so wretched, so horrible when you have a miracle. I do not understand the men I see working miracles. I remember going into a place where there was this man sick. They said to call me 2 weeks. We had to walk about 2 days to get to the place. And when we got there, we saw this great crowd in the yard, and we ran through the crowd and ran straight into the house and said, "Where is he?" And they said, "He's in that room, a room locked up." We opened the little room, and there this man peculiarly was lying in the bed. He was lying down in a very peculiar way. We couldn't understand it, but we didn't care. He covered up from his head right to his feet on a white sheet. And we rushed in here and laid hands on him and rebuked the devil from him and rebuked death. And the man stood up and got up. I never forget it. His eyes were this large, big brown eyes, and he just started looking around, looking at us, looking around. And man alive, we hit the roof. We shouted and leaping and praising God. And we continued on there. And he said, "Can I get something to eat?" And so we called the people outside to tell them to give him something to eat. And they said, "It's impossible. The man is dead." We didn't know he was dead. They said, "It's impossible. He's dead." And we opened the door. And this woman ran outside, and they gave him everything that was in the house. I never seen anybody eat like that. But we felt so ashamed. We just crept out while the excitement and everybody fell. Took off and got out of there. You know, it's not something that you know you didn't do it. That's the first problem. You know in your heart of heart you did not do it. You did not have the faith to do it. If you had known that man was dead, you wouldn't have raised him. Amen. And you were ashamed. And you run and hide. That's the way, that's the way I feel when I see miracles done. You know, the bigger the miracle, the more ashamed I have. Because people are going to say, "So I didn't do it." And I know the secret. I know one of the biggest miracles I ever had, I was so ashamed. I said, "My God, what am I going to do?" Because they put me in such an embarrassing position. "Come, you've got power, heal the boy." The boy can't be healed. He doesn't have any tongue in his mouth. The boy is dumb because he doesn't have a tongue. "What you want me to do?" You know, that's what I feel. I feel like getting out of that place. No way to get out. I said, "My God, what am I going to do?" And God spoke very clearly to me. He said, "You are not going to heal that boy." He said, "I am."
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just calmed my whole spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I didn't have to do any mumbo jumbo. I didn't even have to shout like I shouted with the man that was dead. I just went up to the boy, tried to put my hand on his head and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Dumb and deaf spirit, come out of him." And I stood back. I still didn't know what to do. And the Lord said to me, "Tell him to speak." And I said to him, "Speak, boy." Now, if a man is dumb and he doesn't know what to say. So God said to me, "Tell him what to say." So I said, "Say Jesus." And the boy just timely turned around, looked me in the eye as if he knew it was going to shock me, and he said, "Jesus." Everybody went berserk. People rushed through screaming and whatever else happened.
Amen.
I got pain, I went into a corner and asked God's forgiveness for my unbelief.
Yeah.
While they're saying he's a great man, he's, you know, people are I am there begging God forgiveness for my unbelief. And I see that when you begin to see God for what God is, you feel very small. You feel very insignificant. You feel that you have no chance, no hope but in God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You cannot go boasting. You cannot go feeling big in any way. You want to bend down and wash everybody's feet. You would like to be a servant to everybody. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, I got a new word the other night, and she talked about the honeypot, and I just figured what she meant. You've never heard it before. But I went to a place, and the deacon and I began to build a septic tank. And when we got down there, we found out that there was an old septic tank there, halfway full up, and we had to clean it out. And while we were cleaning this thing out, stripping it out, some men came along and they heard that I was a minister. And they said, what kind of minister is this? Honeypot. A honeypot minister. Listen, what kind of minister is he? You know? And I mean, it just tickled me. That their idea of what a minister is, it's entirely so much different from the one. You see, minister means servant, and that's what it should be. But in our language, it means boss.
Yes.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
We need godly desire. We need desires that are crafted in heaven and given into our heart to begin to move the world and to do the things that God wants. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me explain the principle again to you. God will not work with you unless you have a desire. If you have a desire to save souls, God will bring all kinds of circumstances in your life so that you get souls saved. You hear me? Because this is the way God operates in the body. He gives you one desire, he gives you another desire, he gives you another desire, and through giving you the desire, he begins to make you create. Oh, glory to God. You see, the other night we spoke about the creative force of the Word of God. And I don't want you to feel puffed up. But in a sense, we are created. See? And now, when a desire comes into your heart, and you begin to brood upon the desire, hallelujah, you begin to create the thing, hallelujah. Not I, but Christ anyhow, for the desire is Christ anyhow. Amen. And that it was not because.
Yes.
Let me go over it again. Let me go over it. Let me go over that point. Jesus Christ said in the Word, if you desire anything, you should ask God, believing in faith that you have already received it. And when you believe that you have received it, you shall have it.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Let us look. You see, you are dealing with divine principles.
Yes.
You are dealing with divine principles. Now, something is not. It's nowhere to be found. Enough. And you get the idea in your heart. Let us assume that you have a clean heart. All you want to do is to serve God. And a desire come into your heart for this thing that is not and never was. My life. You throw heaven into high gear. Angels are rushing here and there, getting people to work and to do and to produce.
Glory.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen. I told you of some years ago, I had this desire in my heart that I wanted a tape deck that would do both reel and cassette. That is, you put a cassette on one side and you put it onto the reel over the other side at high speed. You put a reel over this side and it puts it onto the cassette over this side. That was the idea I had, because in those days some people had reel tape recorders and some had cassettes. So we had to be making both reel and cassette tapes for people. Amen. And I got the idea and I went to God and I said, God, get somebody to invent a machine that will do this for me. Amen. And I thank God and I believe that my machine is coming. So we were in service one day.
Amen.
And a brother came and he put a peculiar thing to me. He said he's an engineer and he has a machine inventing, but that every time he gets before the machine, it's like he's going crazy. And he does not know what is it, but there's some spirit work that's preventing him from finishing this machine. And so I prayed for him and rebuked this thing. And the brother felt all right. Well, at another time he came and reported that, praise God, he had finished the machine and God is getting the patent for it. So he asked me to come to his house and to see. And when I went, I saw my machine.
Amen.
I saw my machine.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. Anything, it is like the watch. This watch on my hand. I say to God, I need a watch that will beep, that I alone can hear, that will tell me so that I don't over-preach, because sometimes I preach 3 hours and 5 hours. You see what I mean? And I don't know, it just looks like normal time to me, and yet people sitting down there for 3 hours. I'd like to know. And I said, Lord, I want it with a beep and an alarm that can wake me in the morning. And I waited about 6 months after I asked the Lord. And I went to the Seeker Company and I asked them, do you have a watch that can do this? And they said, the watch is on the drawing board. I must come back 6 months' time. And when I went back 6 months' time, surely enough, the watch was there. And they said, it costs something like $300 or $400. I said, no, I didn't ask God for one that costs $400. I said, I want the watch, but I am not paying $400. The man said, well, the citizen is making one that will be less than fantasy call. So you come back again another 6 months. See, but I went down to Jamaica and I saw the watch in bond, the Seeker in bond, and it was the price, $100 something that I wanted, and I bought it. But I'm just saying all that to say that God is dealing with a people who must grow up.
Yes.
Grow from the way down there to sons, to the mature sons, so that you can bring to pass the things which God is doing in this time, in our time.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of it? I don't believe you ever believed that scripture. Tell you the truth, brethren. That scripture which says, if you design a thing, you should ask God, believing that you have already received it. Now, how can you tell yourself that you have already received the thing when you have not received it? You know something? You can do it if you know that you really receive it. Let me tell you what happens to you. You go to God and you ask God for this book. And God says, immediately you ask him for this book, he called an angel and said, get a Thompson Chain reference Bible for Bert. Immediately, that's what happened. God doesn't wait till tomorrow. God calls his angel and he put heaven in high gear immediately to produce the Bible. Now, if the Bible is not yet made, are you there? If it's not available, God has to go and get a man. And God has to, a man now who is in this business. A man who is in the business, who is able to do it by his expertise. God's going to get him, and God's going to impress upon him to get that Bible made. And God will press him like what he did to the Mr. Thompson, until he got that chain reference with him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, it takes time. But if in the meantime you begin to doubt God, then you give that man a hard time. The angel of God had traveled. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
God wants us to be a people with maturity to understand that the word of God is true.
Yeah.
When God says a word, heaven and earth may pass away, but that word will not pass away until it is accomplished that whereunto he has sent it. Ask, he said, and it shall be given unto you. If you don't believe it, why did you ask?
Amen.
You're a no, right now, God, give me. Yeah. But let me tell you, God gives it to now. God is a no person. But time and space is your enemy.
Right.
Oh yeah. Time and space is our enemy, and when God speaks a word, it takes time to come to us. Daniel prayed, and Daniel could not understand why he did not get the reply to his prayer. But the reply was given long ago. The Bible said, from the first day that you prayed, he said it was done. Glory to God.
Amen.
So our desire, instead of desiring the things of the world, instead of desiring the things of the devil, instead of desiring the things to make us comfortable in the world here, the desire can be a weapon of God, an instrument of God.
Hallelujah.
To be used.
Hallelujah.
To bring to pass the will of God in the earth.
Hallelujah.
Don't you understand? Now, if your heart is right with God, then all your whole number one first effort in life is to please God. And everything that you do otherwise gravitates around your pleasing God. You get a job, you buy a property, you sell a property, whatever you do, it's all being bent to one point, to do
the will.
Thy will, O God.
Amen.
For it is written in the book of me, I come to do thy will, O God. You know why you are those that come to do the will of God? Because God said you are called. Once you know that God has called you, you are come to do the will of God. God has no other purpose for you on earth but to do his perfect will.
Amen.
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 And let me tell you, when you have your will set on God, remember now, the will is like an anchor. The ship is rocking, but the anchor holds. You see, the anchor holds it. And God, when you have your will set on God, it is almost impossible to sin. Are you there with me? When you have your will set on God, it is almost impossible to sin. For you will never desire sin. If you notice in 1 John, where he says that he that is born of God cannot sin. And he said, whatsoever, the reason that he that is born of God cannot sin is because whatsoever is born of God cannot sin. And the whatsoever is something that's in you. Amen. And the whatsoever can't sin.
Hallelujah.
For it is the seed of God in you. Now, if the seed of God is in you, and you desire to do everything that the seed of God wants you to do, then you can't willfully, deliberately commit a sin. There's only one possibility left for you. As far as sin is concerned, you can be cheated, you can be deceived, you can fall. But you cannot desire and willfully pursue sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah! For there's nothing in you to do that. You have no desire. Now, it's easy then in such a case to apologize. You come along and you crush somebody's toe. And you didn't do it willfully, but because you might have been a little careless. So it's easy for you to say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. So you see, sin becomes exceedingly sinful to you and a hateful thing. You don't want to fall and you don't want to do the wrong.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If any man desires, have a will, set purpose to do God's will, he will know. How he will know? God will tell you. Let me tell you, brother. Don't say you don't know the will of God. Hear me? For you will feel it inside of you.
Hallelujah.
You will feel the will of God inside of you. The only problem is that there are other voices telling you that this is not God. When you hear the voice of God, you're saying, well, maybe it's me, maybe it's my thinking, and maybe it's mine. Hallelujah. It's not supposed to be your thinking, because you were not thinking of that at all. It must come from somewhere else. It must either come from God or from the devil. And to do the will of God cannot come from the devil. It must be God. So when it comes to knowing the will of God, begin to know your own heart. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Begin to know your own heart. And you will know the will of God. God said, blessed are they which hunger. To hunger after God is a blessing.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I feel a hunger in here.
Amen.
I feel a desire in here for God.
Amen.
More than you desire even to live.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
desire is going to make God have to move and fill you. That means he'll bring you into the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name.
Amen.
I'm going to stop right here.
Praise
God. Lust, I wouldn't even touch it. I wouldn't even touch the lust. The evil desire. For you know it too well. Amen. But you cannot have a lust, an evil desire, and don't know that it is an evil desire. Because the seed of God is in you, and the seed of God will tell you that something is wrong about this desire. God bless you.
Thank you.